A63, number 12B.
All right, now comes the reasoning of it. Why do we need at least three subtones in order to have a secure ground for the second day of creation? I said, at least, we could easily have more, wouldn't matter. More is always, blur the idea. It's always a question of the minimum. What is the minimum? And therefore, just to make a little side note here, because I pointed out, you have, for instance, in the chapter Animal Magnetism Unmasked, which is laid out fundamentally in the Days of Creation order, you have there one anomaly in it, namely that Mrs. Eddy presents the tone of mind in a sevenfold reflection, not just three subtones. And these anomalies we will find over and over, because this is possible. The moment the writer finds I have to give a real good basis right at the beginning, therefore Mrs. Eddy may sometimes show the first tone in the seven instead of only in the three, and though the rest of the chapter is in the Genesis structure. We will find other anomalies as we go on, which are very easily to be understood, so that they actually don't interfere with the flow. We said we only ask for the minimum. If we give more, well, the better. Mm. Now, in order to know what is the minimum, we naturally must ask, what is the second day? The second day, we know, is that day of the firmament. Let there be a firmament, a line of demarcation between the waters above and the waters beneath. We explained that as a line of demarcation between ideas and illusions, as very fundamental distinction. So that's the second day. Therefore, how much do I need to know in order to be able to distinguish, to make a line of demarcation between ideas and illusion? See? If I can answer that, I can answer why the first day has three subtones. Did I go too fast? No? Well, through the explanation we will see. Therefore, what I will do, we'll ask the question, if the Bible would only have said in the first day, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be intelligence, let there be ideas, even if we say, let there be ideas, and there were ideas. Would that be enough to go then right through the second day of creation and say, and God made a firmament to divide ideas from illusions? Would that be a secure basis? Would we know what an idea is and what an illusion is? See, that's the question now. If we only had let there be light, let there be ideas, would we know how to distinguish what is an idea and what is an illusion? Would we know what ideas are? Let me put it this way. Many people say And then suddenly, with a spark of light, can you hear the first day? With a spark of light, I conceived of an idea. That is mind as mind. Are you quite sure? Or is that person quite sure that it is an idea? Or that it is a human concept? Not really, huh? Not really. Therefore, can you see that in order to see that mind, that an idea of mind is really an idea of mind, we must see it as clearly distinct from any other source, from any other concept that also calls itself my idea, but isn't idea, but is illusion. Therefore, without seeing that mind is spirit, that only those ideas which have a spiritual source, have a spiritual quality and not the human quality, only they can be considered to be ideas and not delusions. If somebody says, I just right out of the blue, like a spark of light, I got a new idea and I conceived of a new idea. Is it always an idea that lasted, that was unchangeable, that didn't come and go? Sometimes I said, well, and then I saw that it wasn't quite an idea. They agree that it is not of a lasting nature. It wasn't day. It was just a flare, and not something that is unchangeable and immortal. Therefore, one can see that in order to know what the first day is, you would have to see that it's not enough just to say mind conceives of ideas. You still don't know, are these ideas really from mind, or are they not from mind? Are they perhaps from the human mind? And so you have to distinguish between conceptions that come from God, that are light, and conceptions that come from the human mind. And you have to make a distinction between them and say, oh no, they are just coming from the human mind or from the subconscious mind and so on. And you have to ask at least, are these ideas that last, that have an identity, that never lose their identity, that are unchangeable, or an idea is not an idea? Golly, I have a feeling I didn't put it over. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, that's fine. So, can you see that before one can build on the firmament of the second day of understanding, you must know not only that mind creates ideas, but we jolly well have to see that as a subtone of principle and say, oh, these ideas are not human, they are not from the darkness, they are absolutely not from the human mind. They are completely different than ideas that, so-called ideas that we conceive in the human mind. And they are ideas that are immortal, that are unchangeable, that have a definite identity that you can define and can name. They are not flimsy, they are not just a feeling, but they are very definite. And only when we have that, we can really say, now I know what an idea is. Now I know what an idea is, and now I can no more mistake them as an illusion from that point on. And therefore you come to the second day. So the minimum that we have to gain is not that we have to see an idea in all the seven, but at least in the first three, until an idea becomes definite and is named. Just as we have done with our study of the seven synonymous terms, we didn't just say, well, mind has ideas and mind has infinite ideas. we say, well, we are going to investigate which ideas are ideas of mind and which are not ideas of mind, but which are just concepts of the human mind. And we name them, we give them a definition, we give them a term, and we make it definite. Huh? And so only from that point on can you really feel, now I have something that is so clear-cut that I can always distinguish it from an illusion.
Is that why he calls the darkness night?
Yes. Yeah. I think you also have to... That's what we do also in the study of the synonyms, that we also investigate the counterfeits and say, what are the counterfeits of mind? Huh? We don't say the counterfeits of mind is sin or death. We say, no, we call it very, we must have a very definite concept. The counterfeit of the divine mind is mortal mind or illusion. Huh? And so we define the night. And by defining the night, we do not make the error real, we just define that it is not God. So still no error enters in. We define positively the ideas, and we define the illusions divinely. We define them and say, from the divine standpoint, this and this is an illusion. This and this is not of God. But it's still defining from the divine standpoint.
Wouldn't that be the opposite of soul separating the sweet and the
tear? Soul separates. Soul doesn't separate. No, spirit separates. Huh? Yes. Spirit separates. Yes? Yes. Yes.
It burns the tear, soul.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And it burns it.
Huh?
Yeah. Then you can say it called it night. Huh? Yes. Yeah. So, see that, can we see the practical implication in our daily life that, say, we are somehow working on something and we say, well, I know I have to turn to the first day of creation, I have to turn to the divine mind. I'm going to listen to what the divine mind tells me. So that suddenly, perhaps one day, a bright idea, what you call a bright idea, comes into your consciousness. Mind is mind. And one has to be careful. And one has to say, well, is this really from mind? See, is this really from mind? Or isn't it? Perhaps it's from the subconscious. Perhaps it's from one of our suppressed desires that has come up. So you begin, mind as spirit, to distinguish and ask, what is the origin of it? Did it really come from mind? Or have I been mistaken? Has perhaps this bright idea come from an old desire, old suppressed desire, or has it come through by an old wish or whatever? You have to weigh it already at that point. Huh? See, is it really an idea? Huh? That's mind as spirit. And in mind as soul, you have to make it definite that you say, yes, now I can see if it comes from the divine mind and not from any other source, then it is an eternal idea, then it is a lasting idea, then it's an unchangeable idea, and that's mind as soul. And only then you have an idea. So the minimum of knowing if we deal with ideas or with illusions is actually that the minimum is that we define it through mind, spirit, soul as a subtone. Yes. So we go to the second day. Can we see now that we have now really a foundation, that we now really know that what an idea is, huh? That we do not mistake an idea, or that we do not mistake an illusion for an idea, and vice versa. So we come to the second day of creation, and we just read the biblical terms. The first one is that God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So here we have a first statement. Again, spirit, the main tone is what? Is the firmament, huh? So this is now the tone that runs through the second tone, the dominant, which we don't leave anymore. And the very first inkling of it is that God made such a firmament. Yes? And therefore, God makes really that understanding that can divide between ideas and illusion. Now with your understanding of what we have gained in the first day, what are ideas and what are illusions, we have now an understanding that can make a distinction. That's spirit as mind. Let us make. So that understanding which is the firmament can now make actually a distinction always between ideas and illusions. It has gained enough solid ground. And then we come to the next verse, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now, can you see, it's just one little step further. First it is that you have the possibility, spirit as mind, the creative ability to understand what is true, what is wrong, what is idea, what is illusion. The possibility is here shown. Then you get the sense that this firmament does divide, therefore you have a sense of good coming in, which feels that now I can deal only with that which is good, because it's separated from anything that is wrong, and you have a great sense of the firmament, that its understanding is the understanding of all that is real. Then we come to the third one, and God called the firmament heaven. Again you have a calling it, called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Again you have a definition, soul, and it calls it heaven, and heaven naturally means, in that biblical language, heaven means the ordered state of things. Huh? It gives you a definite realm of ordered states of things. You want to get into heaven away from earth, because earth is a completely chaotic realm, and you like to get to heaven where everything is ordered and in harmony and is balanced and so on. And so you can get an ordered realm. So always when we have understanding, what do we get? When we have understanding, we get order. When we have order, we are feeling everything happens in an orderly way, and we feel like in heaven. So why do we have to have that understanding? If we wouldn't have that understanding that can constantly separate between ideas and illusions, we wouldn't have that, then these ideas and illusions would constantly be mixed up. And what would we gain? Not heaven, but hell. We really would get that Babel state of thought, that everything is chaotic, that everything is upside down, that nothing really clicks, that nothing really works harmoniously. And therefore we can see that in our spiritual work, we have to stick to that second day. And see, once I have learned through mind what are ideas and what are illusions, I have learned that now, that I say, all right, I can now make a distinction. I can now use the understanding of this idea in order constantly to make a distinction. Spirit as mind. As I make that distinction, I get an understanding that is good. I then can only work with the understanding of ideas, and that's a good, spirit to spirit. And as I do that, I really can see that that understanding, which only works with the reality of good, really dwells in the realm of order and order progression, and that's really heaven. And you feel you are working along a line of understanding. Yes. Actually, I should let you talk a bit more. We feel, you see, what is the prerequisites that is necessary for the third day? We should have actually have asked that perhaps first. We say, what are the prerequisites of the second day in order that we can gain the third day, the dry land? That we have a real sure foundation, that we have the real sure foundation. And therefore the prerequisites of that real sure foundation we would find in the second day, where we see we can only build surely if we have an understanding. Understanding of what? Of the first day, of ideas. Only then can we build surely. How can I get that sure understanding? See, it isn't asking what we should understand, but it's asking what kind of understanding is necessary. And it is that understanding which does no more wobble, which is not insecure, but which is so definite that it knows what it knows. So in order to have that firmament, secure, we must see that we must see that a separation of ideas and illusion of waters above and waters beneath is necessary in every case. That we always have to start with that line of demarcation. Say, with what material am I going to work? Am I going to work with material of illusion or with the material of ideas, what I am going to use in my life. So spirit as mind says, you can really use an understanding that can know what are illusions and what are ideas. If you do that, then use it. And God made the firmament, and it was good. Therefore, he made the firmament. We use now these ideas. And do no more lean over and ask ourselves constantly, are these ideas or are these not ideas? We have now a firm foundation and we are going to use them, and we know as we use only our understanding of ideas that only things that are good will come out, and this is spirit as soul, this is heaven. It's an ordered understanding of being. Therefore, in that second day, we already feel that we are no more leaning or comparing, are we actually working along a secure line or not. We already know now that our basis is ideas, and we already know now that I have constantly to make that decision, spirit as mind, what is real, what is unreal, what is idea, what is illusion. That I have constantly, when I've made that distinction, use those ideas, spirit to spirit, so that they are, that I work in the realm of good. And as I work only in the realm of good now, that is heaven. That is heaven. So she called that firmament heaven, you see. She is no more a question about the sea and the waters. It's now only the firmament that is in our understanding. Yes? Did I bring out that clearly now.
I'm confused because you see order, but I thought order belongs to spirit.
Yes?
Then why do you combine the order of heaven and soul? I don't get the combination.
Because you have lost your dominant. You see, I wasn't speaking about heaven. I was speaking about the firmament called heaven. Order, firmament, is your understanding. And when that understanding is ordered, it gives a sense of heaven. That's still ordered, but it's called. It's now made definite. You are no more at that point where you feel, do I get into heaven or not? Am I on the road to heaven or not? You are now definite. You know that order of spirit is actually leading to a very definite point called heaven. Yes, I'm glad you asked because this isn't just child's play. These tones are so delicate and so wonderful that one has to think about it. Well, we have been thinking about it now for 30 years, so it's a bit longer than just a half an hour. And I think all what I can give is you the method, the right question you have to ask. And when you are at home, you think it out, because it's just going through the days of creation constantly in a finer way. All right.